I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sage Rosenfels.
Good physical stature, can see, and looks to be smart with the football.
12-year NFL quarterback.
Rosenfels, rolling, near side, throwing for the end zone, touchdown!
Writing football for The Athletic.
There's just so many combinations that a defense can do to confuse a quarterback, even a veteran quarterback. That is the complex, deep science of football that very few people understand.
Our Tuesday morning quarterback.
Sage Rosenfels, brilliant.
Sage Rosenfels with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's talk some quarterbacking with Sage Rosenfels of The Athletic Minnesota, who is on Twitter at SageRosenfels18, and he joins us now on The Score after a really shaky performance by Mitch Trubisky against the Rams. By shaky, I mean just bad.
I thought you were going to say a different word.
No. I thought you started down that road.
Stopped yourself.
No, that he really put together what the more we look back on it and the more we review it, the numbers do indicate a pretty high functioning level and a real rebound for him. Sage, what did you see?
He was very efficient on his day. You know, I just got done watching the film and watched every throw, and there's a couple misses he has in the game, a couple missed opportunities. But all in all, a guy playing a big-time atmosphere like that against a rival, have a chance to clinch the division. He played very efficient football, protecting the ball. In particular, at the end of that game when they're up by seven, Cohen gets the long punt return for a touchdown. Rather than trying to make too much happen, he does end up dumping off to Cohen. But at that moment, you really just don't want to turn the ball over. And he played that way most of the game. He played smart with the football. They take the field goal. They go up 10, and that was pretty much the end of the game. So he played very efficient. There are a couple throws here and there. We'll talk about that with some timing issues or whatever. But all in all, didn't miss very many guys who were open, made good decisions. Ran with his legs when he needed to, picked up a couple of big first downs, one on 3rd and 10, and played really good football all around.
Sage, after the game, both Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky said they knew Green Bay wasn't going to give them anything deep. So going back to the week of practice leading up to that game, what was the mindset likely for that offense as it goes into the game, knowing they're not taking deep shots and they're trying to scale things back some? What's the proper mindset? What's the proper plan of attack when you know that you're not bombing 8 routes?
Well, by the way, there was one opportunity fairly early in the game. He had a post route versus a quarters look, a cover 4 look, and he had him open. The issue is Trubisky only took 3 steps out of the shotgun, and when he was ready to throw, Allen Robinson still is in his vertical stem of his route. So usually on post routes, I'd be very surprised if it was different in Chicago. A quarterback out of the gun would take 5 steps. That's a couple, that's an extra half second or second, for the receiver to get down the field and run that post route. He had Allen Robinson for a touchdown versus quarters coverage. But going back to your original question, when you know you're not going to throw anything deep, you start looking at those matchups underneath. Do I get one-on-one? Is it zone? Is it man? All that, the intermediate routes they ran, what they would call Hank, which is basically 3 different hook routes tight end over the ball, 2 curl routes on the outside, about 12 routes. They ran that 2 or 3 times in the game, were successful every time they ran it. So I think they weren't throwing a lot of go routes and taking shots. Just control the football, high completion percentage, don't turn the ball over. And to be honest with you, the Packers made it fairly simple from that perspective. Is they didn't have a ton of complex coverages. and they allowed for those underneath route completions.
We talked a lot yesterday about Trubisky's innate sense to understand where pass rushers are and be able to move away from them. Two different plays he was able to keep alive just by squeezing his way out of trouble. And we debated whether or not that is learned or whether or not that's innate or some combination of both. But the discussion got kind of high level as we started talking about the multiple snapshots that a quarterback takes and must retain after you see the line, after you see the defense, after receiving the ball, and then you turn your back. How much of your pass rush awareness is based on accessing those snapshots and then thinking almost like a fighter pilot in a dogfight about where were these guys, therefore where are they likely to be now?
So I think for a quarterback, and one, by the way, I do believe pocket presence is very much an instinctual thing. Some guys have it and some guys don't. Now, the guys that have it, I believe they're also the same guys that understand how to collect information as they're walking to the line. And I'm talking about, what is the pass protection? Is the tight end going to chip and help out my left tackle, or is my left tackle completely on an island by himself? If he is on an island, maybe I should just sort of be peeking over there just a little bit to snap, see if the guy got a good jump off the football. If he's not on an island, I'm good to go. I can focus my issues somewhere else. And, you know, play action has the same thing. A lot of times when you play action, you turn your back to the defense, you don't know what's going on. But the weakness usually is the tight end who's one-on-one with the defensive end. So when you come out of that fake, maybe a real quick peek to that tight end, make sure he's got him secure before you go down the field. So I've always thought it's instinctual, but also the smart quarterbacks know where the weaknesses are and the protections, and so they're a little more ready for them if their guy does indeed get beat.
You mentioned there were a couple of throws that Mitch did miss, and that's going to happen in some games. It was nice to watch him play the game he did, but I noticed, and I wonder if you did too, or if you're thinking the same lines, when he tries to throw out routes to, you know, just kind of softly, like 4-yard out routes to Tariq Cohen, and drops the arm angle some. He had one tipped at the line, one went out of bounds completely, and the touchdown pass even, that's behind Cohen some. Now, it ended up helping because he does that reverse pivot and runs in and dives for the end zone. Are those the passes that get weird on him? And he's not going to change his arm angle. It's going to stay down there. What can he do to better make those accurate passes?
Well, you know, I think for the underneath stuff, I wish he would tighten it up just a little bit, you know, maybe just change his motion just a little bit more compact. And, you know, the more compact you are, the more accurate you generally are. When you do really bring that arm out wide and become a little more of a whip, sometimes you don't know really where it's going to go. But, you know, the tip pass, that was sort of bad luck. That was a twist game. The guy sort of ran into it. That would have been probably a first down there. He does do that occasionally where he drops that arm a little bit. But, you know, by the way, on the touchdown, I actually almost think he was throwing that away. And that was an all-out blitz by the Bears. Cohen, I believe, was going to run some sort of angle route. So it looks like he was angling in there. Now, if the quarterback leads the running back versus an all-out blitz to the inside, usually that's where the defender is. Mm. So the thought process is throw it on his back hip. That's the only safe place to go with the football. Cohen is such a great athlete, he stops in his tracks on the angle route and snags the ball like he's running some sort of pivot route. I don't believe that was the actual route at all. That was just an unbelievable play by Cohen. And Trubisky put it the only place he could really put it and be safe. And at the end of the, you know, at the worst possible scenario, it would have just been an incomplete pass ball behind Cohen. You move on. But Cohen made such a good play on that. And by the way, I want to also add that the right guard, I wrote his name down here, so I got to give the offensive lineman some love. Who's the right guard, number 78?
Brian Witzman.
Yeah.
Ryan Witzman, what they call takes two on that play. All right. They have a five-man run. They have five-man blocking for the Bears. The Packers bring six. That means that, you know, there's going to be a free runner. And really smart linemen, they understand who that free runner is going to be. And sometimes they have the ability, what they call take two, which is, you know, at the very best, try to get a hand on that second runner, so you at least take the hit off the quarterback. He did that, allowed Trubisky to make that throw, not take the big hit, being a touchdown. The small little things sometimes end up being big positives, and that was a big positive, that right guard by Winston. That was a great play.
That's some very specific X and O
That's
breakdowns
awesome.
That you're getting right now from former NFLer Sage Rosenfels, who has been observing the Chicago Bears. What's the right thing to do if you're Matt Nagy and you've cultivated this relationship, this connection with Mitchell Trubisky? Where should he be going into the playoffs and looking at more important games? Is this a time where you want to be adding, want to be installing, want to say, okay, Mitch, let's graduate to some upper level stuff here. Let's go to some 300 level stuff here and think, now that you've got this and now that I can trust you with this, we're going to try this. We're going to see what this looks like. I want you to think about this. Or is it the opposite? Or do you say, now I know what you can really do well, and we're going to stick to that? In what direction should the play-calling philosophy go?
You know, they, in my opinion, I think they should continue to do the things they're doing, they've been sort of doing most of the year. Now, they added a couple things in that game that were slightly different. And here's an example. There's that play, as I mentioned before, Hank, tight end over the ball, the Z receiver to my right, he's going to run the 12-yard pro route, and the X receiver to my left, he runs the 12-yard pro route too. In this game, twice, they put that X receiver on a skinny post. They're both cover three beaters, but it's sort of like an addition that, hey, we'd like to cover three posts better versus this team. So he added something that is just sort of an offshoot of an original play that's been around forever. So I would do things like that. I would make wholesale changes. The Bears do so many things. You know, Cohen is such a special player. They do so many things that are hard on the defense. They're so untraditional that those just consistent, you know, corner out with a flat route and these consistent reads, just keep mastering those reads. You know, early in this game, Trubisky takes a second, sort of a second hitch on the corner route to Allen Robinson, and he's late. I believe the ball is caught, but he's out of bounds. On the touchdown to Burton, it's the exact same play, basically, different formation, but really the same play. He takes five steps, takes one hitch, gets rid of the football, touchdown, right? Keep sharpening, the knife. Keep sharpening your tools. They do a lot of good things. No reason to add a whole bunch of stuff. Keep getting better at those basic fundamentals.
Sage, I'm wondering, in your travels in the league, did you run into rookie wideouts who had kind of hit a wall at this point in the season, and what was done to bring them back from the brink? Rookie wideout Anthony Miller had been featured some in this offense. There'd been some throws that gone over his head, might have been touchdowns. He's played at least a college season now, plus the preseason, and he's got more football to go, so they need him around. Do guys get overloaded in concept or scheme or workload, and how do you bring them back?
I don't think so. Usually as the season goes on, the young guys start to pick it up, and they're now, no longer are the sort of the big guys with the bright lights, going on. They're a part of the league, and they're also, very much being counted on by everybody else. In college, you get away with sort of being a freshman, not in the pros. That rookie stuff doesn't last very long. These guys, there's only 53 guys, only 46 or whatever dress on game day. So everybody is vital, and whether you're an undrafted rookie or a highly drafted kid, you got to go out there and play good football. So, that's usually not the case. I know he has had shoulder issues, from college. My school, Iowa State, played him in the bowl game. He had a shoulder brace on. I'd heard about some shoulder issues. You saw that early this year a couple of times. I wonder if his stuff is more physical than it is mental. But, the Bears do a lot of things. They do a lot of formations, a lot of motions, a lot of shifts, a lot of stuff with Cohen. That can be a lot for a young guy, but you got to think at this point in the season, everyone is a veteran at this point.
What's in your mental notebook after watching another Aaron Rodgers performance where he just was uncharacteristically inaccurate and looked like his internal clock isn't what we know it to be?
Well, one thing, by the way, the Bears' defense is really good, and I know I cover the Vikings so much, and Stefanski, their new coordinator, kept talking about complementary football last year, and that's one advantage Trubisky has is, hey, I got a good defense over there, let's just play complementary football here, we don't have to score 50 points every night like Patrick Mahomes has to do. So Aaron Rodgers has been trying to score 50 points every game for the last whatever it is 7-8 years, and his body language is just bad. I don't know what's all going on there. I don't think he wants to get out of Green Bay by any means, but losing stinks, and he hasn't had a ton of losing in his career. He's won 9, 10, 11 games most of the time, been in the playoffs, won playoff games. Losing really stinks, and to be on a team that's, really tight talent-wise, the third or fourth most talented team in the NFC North, that's got to be very, very frustrating for him. It's sort of new waters for Aaron Rodgers, and he's probably not handling it very well.
I know you've had a ton of Kevin Stefanski tendencies to break down over the last couple of days, but when you watch the Rams and Saints offenses scuffle the way they have, what issues scream loudest to you for either of those squads?
That's a good question. Well, for the Rams, I would say they have not run the football very well the last few weeks. I believe Todd Gurley has something like 23 carries in the last two ball games. All right, so that team is run, play action. You know, that is their offense. It's not dropping back 56 times a game. And, you know, Goff threw 56 throws in the game the other night. Yeah. And, you know, obviously they were losing. But, you know, when they don't run the football or can't run the football, that play action just is not nearly as good. And Goff is, he's not a great playmaker. You know, he's sort of like Cousins. He's a pocket guy. And bad things seem to happen if, you know, the things get off schedule and you ask him to do too many things. And so I think with the Rams, it definitely starts out with that getting that running game going, and then everything else you get good coverages one-on-one on the outside that makes the play action much, much easier. So I think for the Rams, it starts off with that. Now, the Saints, I don't know. That's a good question because their offense has been so prolific for 15 years, and then all of a sudden they've got this great team. You know, they really had a good team last year, made it to the playoffs, lost in the Minneapolis Miracle. The offense has always been good. Finally, they've got this great defense, and that's what they have not had basically the entire time since Sean Payton has been there. They haven't had a great defense. They do have a very good defense, and all of a sudden their offense sputters. It's sort of incredible how that works, but you know, I don't know. I don't think I have any answers there. Drew Brees seems healthy. I think the line is decently healthy. They've got, obviously, the running backs and things like that. It's hard to consistently put up a lot of points week in, week out in the NFL, and you have seen almost the entire league, other than maybe Kansas City, you know, there were so many passing yards. Minnesota was one of those teams, throwing the ball all over the place. Adam Thielen, like nine straight games, 100 yards. September and October are for passing. November, December, and January are for who can play some defense and who can run the football and who can control it. It may not be exciting football, but it's winning football, and that's the style that the Patriots are starting to do a little bit more. And the Saints are starting to use that fullback, too, and play a little more old-school football and grind it out and play complementary football with that defense.
Love your work, Sage. Thanks, as always.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Wow.
Those are big helpings of football meat.
Yes, it is. We need football gravy with that, I think. And I'm just the guy to bring it to
you.
Well,
all right, then.
This segment's brought to you by Art of Pizza on State Street. Stop in or carry out thin pan or deep dish, hot, fresh, ready-to-go pizza slices from Art of Pizza on State Street and Polk. Choose from up to 18 varieties of slices for delivery or pickup from Art of Pizza on State Street, 727 South State Street. I'm just going to read you the headline here, and this is all you're going to need.
All right.
Here's the headline. The brilliant and sensible plan that would end NFL kickoffs forever and make football way more fun.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. I'm in for it. The kickoff is dying and Dan's got a plan. That's next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.